work okay. So if you have your Bible and you're ready, we're in John chapter 1. Why don't you stand with me, please? Here we go. John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would meet here with us for whatever sound issues that we have, whatever trouble we have in conducting this service. I pray that it would not interfere with a clear gospel message of preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Help us this morning as only you can, and we will certainly appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the book of John. It's a terrific education for us on who Jesus Christ is, who our Savior is, and what he has done for us. And obviously, we're looking forward to Easter and celebrating the resurrection. So obviously, just as a recap of some of the things we've looked at in John chapter 1, we have found Jesus to be before the beginning. He's the great I Am. He always was, he always will be. He's the great I Am. And then after that, we saw that he is the creator in John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him without anything made that was made. So he was before the beginning in John 1, 1 and 2. He's the creator in John 1, 3. He's the giver of life. And life can be experienced in him. And really, we sang a song a while ago, "I was breathing but not alive." The Bible teaches us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But when we meet Christ, he gives us life. And obviously, John 3:16 is a verse that all of us know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it comes only from Jesus Christ. There's no other way. So he's the giver of life. He's the creator. He was always there. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. In verse 9, we've already read in our text, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And obviously, light reveals truth. It gives us a testimony, and it gives us an eternal hope. And someday we will be translated. We will leave this old sinful world, and we'll go to be with the Lord in heaven. John chapter 14 promises us that to us. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And obviously, we're looking forward to seeing Jesus one of these days, either through death or through the rapture. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And we know that the world is a dark place, and there's a lot of confusion going on, and everybody thinks they can do what seems right to them. And obviously, that's just not the case. We want to model our lives after Christ, and he's the one that illuminates the path for us. I won't ask for hands this morning, but I don't know about you, but it seems like I'm constantly looking for direction in my life. Are you in that same boat? Okay? And in that direction, we're looking for an obvious path. And a common prayer for me when I'm talking to the Lord is, "Lord, reveal to me. Make the way visible. Help me to understand what I'm supposed to be doing in guiding this church and being a family man, a father, a dad, all of those things." We're always looking for direction, and it's God Almighty, Jesus Christ, that gives us light to our path to give us a sense of the direction that we should be going in. So obviously, that's what it's talking about with the light that God gives us. Now, there is an order of events that if you'll think about with me this morning, I think it'll make sense to you. There's an order of events that takes place in every believer. And I think it's mapped out in our text this morning. Verse number 17 says, "And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Number one, God has done his part. Say that with me. God has done his part. And I want to say that he always makes the first move. And I like that, okay? Because obviously, I don't know if you can remember, I'm getting older now. It's a foggy memory for me. But there was a time when I was interested in the opposite sex. And I still am. It's just my wife now, and I'm not looking around anymore. The search is over. Totally satisfied. Just want you to know, okay? So, but there was a time, and maybe some of you younger folks can relate to this, where you're looking for the, and you're hoping that someone will make a move and you won't have to. And you want to build that relationship. And it's a scary thing, and I understand all that. So you're looking for signs from the other one that maybe I have a chance. And so you watch for all that. Well, I want you to know, when it comes to the things of Christ, God makes the first move. He wants you. He will not reject you. There's no chance that can happen, okay? So having said that, the Bible talks about the condition that we are in. Now remember, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but the law came by Moses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore is by one man, what came into the world? Sin. Wherefore is by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Say that with me. All have sinned. Say this with me. I am a sinner. Say that. I am a sinner. Nobody cannot say that. If you won't, you just won't do what I tell you to, which would remind me of some things in my house. But anyway, we have to recognize that every one of us are sinners. It's a fact of life. Now, we don't like that. I don't particularly like people pointing out my shortcomings. 1 John 3:4 says, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is doing wrong. Well, what is the law? Well, the Bible already says in John chapter 1, the law came by Moses, the Ten Commandments. And the Bible also teaches us that we would not have known sin except for the law. So really, the law showed to us our shortcomings. Nobody likes that. I don't like that. For instance, every now and then, my wife and I, we used to golf together. And she was a better golfer than I am. That's why I gave it up. And so we'd go out, and you're teeing off, and you're hitting off. And I was an awful golfer that got to be a bad golfer. And now I'm back to an awful golfer again because I haven't played in years. And I'm very happy with that decision. But anyway, so you tee off, and ladies always go first. She'd hit first, and her ball would always do what it was supposed to. So then I'd hit, and then we'd go down the fairway, and she'd always say, oh, look, honey, your ball's way over there. And it would just kind of crank me, you know? And I know where my ball is. You don't have to tell me how pathetic I am as a person and as a golfer. And so I would say, honey, that stuff is not helpful. I don't like someone telling me that I'm not as good as someone else. I mean, that's just human nature. Can anybody relate to this at all? Nobody. All right, fine. So we were eating supper last night. My son and his bride were there, and Emily looked at me, and she says, there's something on your lip. And I looked, and there was this black spot on my lip, and I says, I'm turning into Hitler. There's something there. Of course, I don't know if you can say that nowadays in this politically correct world, but it did. It looked like I was growing a little mustache there, and so I'm scrubbing it and trying to get it off, and it's not going away, and I go downstairs and I get a razor. But I didn't appreciate her telling me I had a spot that I'd rather not know. I don't want to know. You know, I'm fine the way I am. So all I'm doing, I'm just sharing with you, that's how we feel when someone tells us we are a sinner. I don't want to know that. As a matter of fact, we've taken it so far now that the law came from Moses. The Bible codifies sin. It tells us what it is. For instance, there's some wonderful people walking through the woods called game wardens. And they can codify for you whether what you're doing in the woods is legal. They're wonderful guys. I can think of one game warden I didn't like. He's retired now, but for the most part, there's a lot of them. They're wonderful guys, first class, salt of the earth men and women nowadays, enforcing our laws. They need to, but they'll be glad to tell you whether you are hunting legally or illegally. you know, it always bothered me. If you're going to hunt at night, you need a flashlight. And somehow they're offended by that, you know. But all of those things that go on, someone has to tell you right from wrong. This Bible does. And what's the world want to do now? They want to get rid of the Bible. Why? Because it's what points out to them their shortcomings. Now, that's the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Now, that's the big news. I am a sinner. Okay, so I need to illustrate grace and truth comes from Jesus Christ. We don't deserve this. Okay, follow me on this. And so I met a man in the back here, and I told him, I warned him ahead of time, because there's a lot of you that I don't know, and I was afraid. I thought, I'll pick someone I don't know, but then they'd never come back, because obviously I'm going to embarrass them. And so I met this gentleman in the back, and I said, I don't know you, do I? And he says, my name's Levi. And I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I said, we'll get to know each other later, but I need to know this guy. So Levi, stand up. And Levi's a sharp-looking guy back here. I'll come around here. Now, how old are you, Levi?
19.
Do you know me?
Not really.
Okay, fine. Have you ever done anything for me?
No.
He said no. Okay. So, Levi, I'm going to... That's $20. Have you earned that?
No.
The truth is, okay, grace is I gave you $20 that you don't deserve, and the truth is you didn't earn it and you don't deserve it. Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, one of these days I'll get to know you, okay? Fine. So you can keep the $20, okay? Now, now, how many other people would like to meet me now? Huh? Yeah, yes, okay. See? But listen, this is what happens. Before you even knew the name of Jesus, he paid every debt you ever had. Doesn't matter what you have done in the past, Jesus already covered it all. Grace came to you before you even knew him, before you did anything for him, before you even spoke his name. I didn't know Levi's name, but I know it now. But before he ever knew me and I ever knew him, he gets $20 and he didn't earn it. And Jesus comes to us and he says, Stan, I'm going to cover all your debts that you've ever had on your sin account before you ever know me, because grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And so I want you to know, whether you've accepted Christ or not, your bill can be paid, but you have to accept it. Now, everybody's debt is not paid because they have to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. If they've not done that, they are going to die in their sins, and they're going to be stuck with trying to pay their own bill for all eternity in the torment of hell because they did not put their sin on Christ's account. I just think that it's an incredible truth of what Christ has done for us before we ever knew him. And that's where grace and truth comes from Jesus Christ. So God does his part. He always makes the first move. Number two, people hear of Christ through God's word, which is personal witness. Now, for instance, you could have been saved at a Billy Graham crusade. You could have been saved at Bible camp. You could have been saved. I was led to Christ by my sister at 4 years old. There is no chance that you have come to Christ apart from God's word, because you can't be saved without understanding the truth of God's word, that you are a sinner, that Christ took your place, that he died for you, that he rose again, and understanding that he did that for you, now you can go ahead and believe in the work of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe all that. I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. And once you've done that, you heard the witness of Christ. And so someone tells you that. And for instance, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, he came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. They didn't like him, weren't interested. They rejected him. They led him to Calvary and they crucified him. As he was on trial, they were asked, do you want us to kill your king? And the Jews said, we have no king but Caesar. They totally rejected Christ. But in verse number 12, but as many as received him, Them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the invitation goes out. The invitation will go out this morning. In a room this size with this many people, not everyone's a Christian. There are people that I can remember over there. We've been here for 25 years. There's been people that have come week after week after week after week by their own testimony, lost his hound dogs. Lost is my golden doodle dog. My dog is not going to heaven. That's all there is to it. And if you don't know Christ, you're not either. Okay? Now, having said that, you've got a soul. The dog doesn't. Okay? That's a different conversation altogether. But if you reject Christ, and we've had people come week after week by their own testimony, not knowing the Lord, then just not going to trust Christ. Reject. 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 Well, I'll tell you what, you can only do that so many times, and God's not going to talk to you anymore. So that we've offered you long enough, and you can cross a line where you can no longer receive Christ. Don't let that happen to you. Now, having said that, but as many as received him, then became the power of becoming the sons of God. In verse 13, which were born not of blood, physical birth, nor of the will of the flesh, I choose it. I'm going to get saved when I want to. My flesh is telling me I don't want to get saved this morning. I got too many things I want to do. I'm going to put it off, but I will someday. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't get saved on your own time, on your own terms. Nor of the will of man. No one else can choose it for you. You know, if it was up to me, the will of this man would be for you, that every one of you would be saved, trust Christ. Lord, I pray a banquet salvation on the Cornerstone Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? But you can't. The only time you can get saved is when the Spirit of God speaks to you and you obey. It's not up to you, it's up to God Almighty. And the Spirit appears in verse number 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is no person that has ever breathed the breath of life, that has come to the age of accountability, that has ever lived and died without seeing the light of Christ. Somehow it's happened. Now how? There's many ways, but God reveals himself to every person that has ever lived. You say, what about the black person in Africa? What? Throw out anything you want. God has revealed himself. He says he did, and God keeps his word. Now, having said that, you hear a personal testimony. Now, this is where, remember, we're working on how it all happened for all of us. Someone told us. Say that with me. Someone told us. Okay? Now you hear it. Once you hear it, now you've got to decide whether you accept it. We're not going to talk about the rejecters this morning. We're talking about the acceptings. I hear a personal witness. Secondly, I have a personal encounter. That personal encounter is when I decide to accept or I decide to reject. Every one of us has had an encounter. The choice that you make depends on the direction you go in after the encounter. For instance, you walk into an auto dealership, let's say that you go up to Barney's Used Cars, okay? And you meet Barney himself. Barney's got all these cars, and he's got so many deals for you, and you just think, wow, this is great, and you look them all over, and you've had an encounter. Now, you're even driving off the lot with one of Barney's cars, or you're walking back off the lot like you walked in. One way or another, you had an encounter, and you made a decision. Well, this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are having an encounter right now. You're hearing the Word of God preached and glorifying and bragging about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Right now, the encounter is going on, and you're deciding if you're walking out of here saved or lost. But for those that choose Christ, they walk out of here saved, changed, redeemed, their sins paid for, grace has been applied to their life, they are no longer bound in sin, the chains fall off, and you are now free to live a life that glorifies God. Now that's a good deal, okay? That's when you believe. Now when that happens, this is good news. Now, I'm not cordless anymore, I gotta stay here, but I'm thinking, well, this is big, say that with me, this is big, and it is. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, if it's big, you're telling somebody. Your personal witness has gone to an encounter that now turns into someone witnessed to you, you had an encounter, Now you have a personal testimony. Personal witness leads to a personal encounter that leads to a personal testimony, and that would be every one of us that know Christ is our personal Savior, okay? Now, with that encounter, now that I know Christ, that ought to be something that leads me now to be a personal witness so that someone else can have a personal encounter, so that that person can have a personal testimony, so that they can turn around and be a personal witness. Do you get kind of the revolution that goes on here? So that that one can have a personal encounter. And that's how the body of Christ grows, is when we're bragging about and talking about Jesus Christ. Now, I can tell you how something dies. You and I have seen it. When that cycle stops happening, you stop talking about Christ. You stop being a witness. If a church or a body is not growing, what's happening? It's dying. You can see death taking place in the life of individuals. They lose their outlook. They lose their hope. And they no longer talk about the future. All they want to talk about is right now, or they want to talk about how poorly they've been treated lately, or how woe is me, how hard life is. Or, you know, so-and-so said something about such-and-such, and I didn't think that was very nice, and have you heard that, and did you know, and maybe that's something we should look into, and let's not go tell them, let's see if anybody else has talked about it first. You ever hear things like that? And when things like that start happening in the body of Christ, witnessing, encountering, all of that stuff is not going on, now we're just going to... Did you ever hear that? You know, what was that? What's the music, man? The hens and the chickens. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick, talk, 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 pick a little, chip. And that's what happens. You know, now thankfully that's not happening at the Cornerstone Baptist Church, but I'll tell you what, it could. And it happens when we stop bragging about Jesus and we start talking about each other. That ain't good. Now, I'm just letting you know what to watch out for, because I'll tell you, the greatest thing that can happen, the church grows when Kim leaves here and talks to her neighbor. Church grows when Stan leaves here and he goes and he talks to someone else about the Lord. The church grows when you and I are bragging about the life that we get to live. And when we're doing that, that creates a testimony, that creates an encounter, that through witness, that cycle just keeps going on. And as you bring someone new in, that new person's got a bunch of other friends. And they start talking to their friends, and their friends start talking to their friends, and their friends start talking to their friends. And the first thing Satan wants to do is stop that. And he does it by making sure that we're not happy in Christ. We're discontent. Oh, it's okay. So how was church? It was all right. They had microphone problems today. Didn't go all that well. Music was all right. But, you know, I'm looking for something better. You start talking like that, we're in trouble. We are. And I'm not saying you can't say what isn't right, but I'm saying you be careful how you say it, what you're talking about. Because all of those things is... The church dies just as soon as you do, just as soon as your witness dies. But on the other hand, I don't know about you, but there's no place I'd rather be personally. Of course, honestly, you pay me to say this, so you're not going to believe it. But there's no place I'd rather be on Sunday morning than the Cornerstone Baptist Church. Around you, bunch of bums right here. This is my crowd. Well, they're just blue-collar, gun-toting, hunting, fishing, kissing your wife, things like that, you know. The really good, that's the crowd I want to be around. That's who we are. We're just average folk that grace of Jesus Christ has been shown to, and we just flat believe it. And I'll tell you what, if you want to reach other people for Jesus Christ, you just keep bragging about him. And you watch Satan just get ticked off, and nothing makes me happier than knowing we're making the enemy mad. Amen? Grace and truth comes from Jesus Christ. Did I deserve it? No, I do not. But we got it. And I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take it to the bank. And when I see my Savior, I'm going to thank him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, for the things that we learn from it. You are so good to us. I thank you for every person in this room this morning that decided on Sunday morning, March 31st, they were going to be in your house, and they are. I thank you for everyone that at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, and they chose you because you had paid our debt. And Lord, I ask for those that could be here this morning that have never asked you into their heart as their personal Savior, that today they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins. I've heard the witness and the testimony, and I'm having an encounter, and I believe in Jesus Christ.